Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Well, happy Father's Day to all the guys out there, the fathers out there, and to all the guys who are like fathers to us, whether you be the guy next door, an uncle, whatever. It's our opportunity today to say thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed us through you. So again, happy Father's Day. Well, my dad, he grew up on a farm. In fact, his dad was the one who had a strawberry farm, is what it is. They grew strawberries, and if you ever look at a strawberry, you know, you see all the little dimples in there, and each of those little dimples is a seed. That's what causes that. And so it's a small seed, but I brought in a different seed today because it's mustard Sunday, ketchup Sunday's next Sunday. At least that's what Dan said. Because I'm talking about a mustard seed here this morning, okay? Got one. It's right here. Can you see it? Right there. Tiny little thing. You know, I went to the grocery store and I bought some mustard seeds there. So if you have a hard time seeing it, well, let me just go down here and I'll put it down here if I can get it, pick it up. There we go. All right. Now I'm going to put it here on the table and I'm going to put it in the center of the napkin here. All right. So that way, can you see it? All right. Well, a mustard seed here, all right, it's a small seed. It's not the smallest seed there is, but it is rather small seed here. It's round and it's tan and it's little. Now, Jesus is using this as an example here. He's using this as a comparison here, all right, talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Really? Really, Jesus? That's what you're comparing the kingdom of God to is this little insignificant seed. It's right here. You know, when you come up here for communion, you can actually come walk by and look at this, you know, because you can't see it probably from way back there. But anyway, Jesus sits there and uses this little seed here as a comparison. And you're like, are you sure? And Jesus says, yes, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Kind of a strange thing here that he says. Now, you got to, whenever we're talking about a parable here, you always need to, first of all, find out what exactly is Jesus saying in the parable. Now, we're talking about the parable there. He's using himself, okay? Talking about himself as the one who is the mustard seed here. Talking about himself and his saving work. Now, you can always go to the Gospel of Luke there, and Jesus always talks about the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God is in your midst, you know, and the kingdom of God is near. Well, that's always true because Jesus is God. So when he's standing there in their midst, it's like, well, yeah, the kingdom of God is near. He's like, duh, I'm standing right in front of you. So here, if Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God like a mustard seed and he's kind of talking about himself, it would seem then that, well, Jesus is being insignificant here. Now, when the people were expecting the Messiah to come, they were thinking him to be a big, all-powerful guy, you know, a king and that kind of thing. But people really didn't see Jesus as a king, did they? Didn't look like a king, didn't act like a king, okay? Didn't command any big army or anything. He just had 12 guys, and some of them had that fishy odor, you know, at least a couple of them did, if not more. And apparently the kingdom of God didn't include his own hometown. I mean, they kicked him out, Nazareth. The kingdom of God included, well, such people like tax collectors and prostitutes and other assorted sinners. And it seemed that the way to get into this kingdom is to be invited and be invited in. So Jesus invited them. That's exactly what he did. So when you're looking at this kingdom of God here, it certainly doesn't seem mighty or great or anything like that. Rather, it looked insignificant, like that mustard seed. I got an advantage here, you know, I'm looking down on it. It's easier to see. You can't see it back there. Because it's not big, is it? Some little tiny thing there in the middle of that napkin. And so here we have Jesus. Really? Jesus, you're the mustard seed? You know, you're the same guy who got arrested, right? Okay? Hauled off and thrown in jail. He didn't defend himself. He was abused by the Romans, beaten by them. Instead of a crown of gold and jewels on his head, what did he have? What, a crown of thorns instead? He was scourged and taken and nailed to and lifted high upon a cross. This king died and was buried. Certainly nothing significant was going to come from this guy. Now, of course, Jesus knew all this. And so what did he do? He shared this parable here. He goes, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." It's interesting. Talking about this mustard seed. Now, the particular variety in Israel that's grown is different than the one in the United States, right? So we've got that little tiny mustard seed there. And, well, when it grows up, this is about as tall as it gets right here, okay? 3, maybe 4 feet tops. Now, the variety in Israel, when it grows, well, it grows to 9 feet tall. Amazing. Starting to get a little idea here about what Jesus is starting to talk about. Because you see, what else does he share about this? He talks about how its branches are so big and strong, what? That a bird can build a nest in it. That what? Not only does it build its nest, but the branches are strong enough and thick enough that they can build their nest in its shade. Interesting. All from that little tiny seed. And Jesus is comparing himself to that. Now, when you think about it here, Jesus being kind of an insignificant man, Scripture talks about how, you know, what? What does it say? Well, there's no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Okay? That was part of it. But yet, even out of the midst of this insignificant man came a most amazing kingdom. A kingdom that has no boundaries. A kingdom that accepts people of every tribe and race. A kingdom that accepts men and women, young and old. Doesn't matter how old you are, people of all ages, boys and girls. And that kingdom continues to grow today. And that kingdom will last for all eternity. It grows because that same seed, Jesus Christ, is alive and well today. And the very word that caused that kingdom to grow back in the day is the same very word that we hear that continues to grow that kingdom into all eternity. We have that word. We still learn from that very parable that he shared then. We learn from his death on the cross that he earned forgiveness of our sins. And as he rose from the grave alive, we too know that that means that we have the hope of everlasting life. You see, we have that assurance. We're going to be assured yet again when we receive his body and blood there in Holy Communion. We receive that assurance in our baptisms. But yet to the naked eye and those who are not of the kingdom of God, this kingdom of Jesus doesn't appear to be very much. The bread in communion is just bread to them. The wine is just wine. The water is water, and the spoken absolution, well, that's just mere words. Seem that the only healing that gets done through a sermon is, well, what? Curing a bad case of insomnia. Nothing in this service would seem to be worth putting on cable news or even printed out in Newsday newspaper. But worse yet, though, is when Christians think that the kingdom of God is insignificant or unimpressive or incapable of doing anything among us. Maybe you've heard or thought these concerns. Well, the people just aren't coming in. They aren't coming in to worship. All right, offerings are going down. Our witness seems to fail. And more than that, my child's behavior hasn't changed, even though I brought him to Sunday school. Still going on. And it's at times like these, then, that Christians, well, they may lose faith or be tempted to dress up the good news to make it more appealing, or perhaps water it down to make it more palatable, or even censor the word to make it less offensive. This happens when Christians lose heart, believing that the kingdom of God presented here is just indeed an insignificant mustard seed. And when one begins to see it that way, then one is in trouble. So once more, let's go back to what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. But this time, let's not look at it from a human logic perspective, but rather one from with the eyes of faith. One viewed through the eyes of faith, and we begin to see things as they truly are. That every Sunday morning, the seed of the gospel is sown here in this very place. People hear. People are convicted of their sins. They understand that they need forgiveness of those sins, and they see that it is found only in Jesus. And that comes from the faith that God gives to you. Folks are reminded that indeed God does love them and does indeed forgive for Jesus' sake. We hear it in the words of absolution, and we are assured yet again of that very forgiveness personally when we receive Christ's body and blood therein. The bread and wine. When we hear God's word, and then we take it home and continue that conversation in our prayers. And what is happening all along? The mustard seed is growing. The kingdom of God is still growing. The Holy Spirit is at work, working on your faith, working in your life. To not see this ministry of God is like looking in the manger and seeing only a baby. It's like seeing the cross and only thinking some religious nut died there. And that is the view of the world believing that the kingdom of God is only an insignificant mustard seed. But we know, we who have faith know, that we can find shelter in the branches of the mustard tree. We have forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. That is ours. For there will be one day in which there is a harvest. Okay, we who are in the kingdom of God will be gathered no matter where we are on this planet. We will be gathered into the eternal home that has been prepared for us. So you see, we believers who seemingly do something that seems so insignificant, like inviting a friend to come and worship, or perhaps going to that neighbor next door and saying, hey, we got our VBS coming up. You want to bring your kids? Great. Doesn't cost you anything. Perhaps it's something else. Maybe it's like a parent taking just 5 minutes to read the Bible to their child. Or maybe taking a moment with somebody to explain what forgiveness of sins means. You see, it goes even further. With all the students that we have, as we celebrate here on this Baccalaureate Sunday, all the students who have heard the gospel all the time in those classrooms, seemingly so insignificant, but who's at work behind that? Who's causing it to grow? That's the Lord God. For you see, God can take something that seemingly is so insignificant and cause it to grow. For nothing is impossible with God. So never give up, never lose hope. Even if you think your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you have faith nonetheless. Those promises that are made with everybody, whether your faith is great or small, still hold true regardless. You have forgiveness of sins. You have the hope of everlasting life. Why? Because that is found in the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.